Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the
No, it was supposed to be Ren, and then it morphed into, I don't know, whatever that creepy guy
was. I was thinking, it sounded like you were doing Fester Molester Ren. No, it sounded more like you were almost doing a Peter Lorre type thing. No, please, don't hurt me.
Welcome to Kinky and the Geek.
Welcome to Kinky and the Geek.
Actually, I wonder how much of Ren was based on that.
I wouldn't be surprised if the voice isn't based off of Peter Lorre at least a bit. Mm-hmm. Like a Mexican Peter Lorre. Yeah. Because he's supposed to be a chihuahua.
Yeah. I'm trying to get Joe to do all kinds of voiceovers.
Now, was he the one on Chuck and Mal that did that?
Yes.
Okay.
How much did that kick ass?
That was pretty good.
That totally, yeah. And he's so good because I make up some stupid shit and it sounds like, hey, Fleshvine's making up some stupid shit, you know. But he does it, and he's like, you're not quite, you know, he's like totally in character. Like
right.
His goblins, when we did Goblin Market, he's so fucking good at it, and he's like, he's so shy about it.
Well, that's because he's a giant ball of shy.
Yeah. Well, did you ever hear the Quiet Storm?
Yeah, I did. I was listening to it when they did it, when they did it, the streaming live, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think the Quiet Storm part was live, but
had been pre-recorded, and he did that in like 15 minutes. He's so fucking good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, welcome to Kinky and the Geek.
Yes.
This is 40. Fleshvine.
Yeah,
40. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we decided it's time to,
to get a divorce, bang a hot 18-year-old we have absolutely nothing in common with.
And buy a sports car.
Yeah. Or a motorcycle. Or both.
Yeah.
Because damn it, we deserve it.
And probably get a fake tan. And get our teeth bleached, don't you think?
That's pushing it.
No.
I can agree with everything else.
It's all midlife crisis.
I know. But the fake tan, I have to, no.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I haven't had it. Well, then again, I'm not married, so I didn't have a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's kind of no reason to. And I think that comes later, actually, for a lot of guys. So, you know, stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be great. Yeah.
Nice.
Start working out and trying to bang my daughter's cheerleader friend.
Gross.
That was
American
Beauty. Yeah.
But he got shot.
Yeah, so you gotta watch that by the gay. Yeah, he got shot by the gay marine. Yeah,
the self-loathing gay neighbor. Yeah.
With the Nazi memorabilia.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
I love that movie. It's such a good movie. How are you?
I'm good.
How was your week?
It was pretty good. It's been movie week for us. That's something we hadn't talked about. Yeah. Besides what we were going to talk about earlier, we had actually gone through...
Well, let's talk about it. Now it's as good a time as
I was going to say, we finally got to see the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Which was... What did you
really
think?
Really good. Really good, but it's kind of bittersweet because, you know, it's Heath Ledger's last movie. And he's such good... He's so good in it.
And the way that they kind of shifted things, I understand it was kind of part of the dreaminess of it all and the surrealism, but it was jarring.
Well, they did it on purpose because originally, from what I had heard, what's his face, the director?
I don't even know who directed.
He's a Monty Python. He was the only he's only American. He was at DragonCon last year. Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
He originally didn't want to go on.
Okay.
Well, once Heath died, he was like, "No, the movie's over."
Yeah.
And it was his daughter that convinced him to do it. That's why they had to come up with something. And the fact that Johnny Depp, Jude Law, and Colin Farrell all donated their pay to his daughter. So she would be financially set.
Oh, that's cool. That is cool.
But the big surprising was Vern Troyer. He's the midget. The guy from the Austin Powers.
Yeah.
He was a lot better. I mean, because, you know, you're used to see him in, like, the Austin Powers role.
In a comedy role.
A comedy role, but he doesn't speak.
Right.
You know, because Mini-Me's mute.
Right.
You don't see him do much in other movies except for, look, there's the short guy, and he's the guy from Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Right. Where he actually had a really good role and did very well.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines is, is whenever Christopher Plummer would look at him and go, "What would I do without you?" And he'd go, "Get a midget."
I've got to rewatch that because, yeah, I watched it. I went to the theater, but I went and saw it because I was having, like, a really bad day. So I think it was somebody, I had broken up with somebody that I liked or some shit like that. And I was emotional and didn't really, I was kind of there for escapism more than to actually pay attention to the movie.
Right.
So I need to go give it another shot.
And, yeah, and the chick that plays, it's very nice because the girl that plays Dr. Parnassus's daughter,
mm-hmm.
who she plays 16,
mm-hmm.
but it was actually 20.
Oh.
It was utterly gorgeous.
She is beautiful.
And so the fact that she was 20, even though she was playing 16,
you can still lust after
her. Yes.
Yeah, and you feel okay about
yes.
that. Yeah, totally.
So we saw that. Finally saw The Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like laugh out loud funny.
Right.
But there was in parts. But it was enjoyable throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've now seen as much of Galifianakis I really want to see,
mm-hmm.
because from everything else I've been seeing, you know, in like commercials and stuff, he's playing the same character,
mm-hmm.
which is the same as his stand-up stuff.
Yeah.
And a little, you know, it's like...
Let it go.
If you're going to do this, because I want to see Dinner for Schmucks,
mm-hmm.
and he's in that, and it
right.
looks like he's just playing a different version
right.
of the man-child character. It's
right.
like...
Yeah.
But I like everybody else is in it, and the fact that I love Carell.
Yeah, and he's got just another weird fucking role.
Right.
He's good at adopting bizarre roles.
And I like the dude that he's playing opposite of,
mm-hmm.
who was also in not Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
I never saw Knocked Up.
What is that guy's name? God damn it.
I just remember that he was in Clueless, and he was Phoebe's husband in Friends. He's the guy that Phoebe ends up marrying. And,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was also the stepbrother of Claire in the movie Clueless, one she ends up dating.
Yeah, that I remember. I just don't remember her.
I can't remember his name.
Well, I mean, I never really watched the last season of Friends.
But. Right, but yeah, very enjoyable. I thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the things I thought was real funny was the one that plays the uptight doctor, the
mm-hmm.
one who ends up getting married and he's lost a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a special effect. He had actually, the actor himself lost
nice.
The tooth at some point in his life. And he just took out the fake tooth.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Very cool.
So, yeah, I was already wanting him to ditch the bitch girlfriend. He was the one that had the overbearing girlfriend, and you find out they keep talking about how she fucked some guy on a cruise. He was going to propose to her.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I am.
It was an interesting idea for a comedy, too, that pulled off well, which I thought
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
The whole what the hell happened last night and the whole, you
right.
know, bringing everything together.
Yeah.
So it was like.
Now, I actually haven't seen the movie, so I'm kind of. Flying by the seat of my pants.
Yeah, I really didn't. Yeah, I really didn't. All that I've said
mm-hmm.
really didn't give much away.
Okay, cool.
It's stuff you would have seen in the commercials anyway,
mm-hmm.
or the trailers for it.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's an interesting concept for a comedy.
Okay.
And it works.
Cool.
And then we finally saw Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, what did you think? I fell asleep in the middle.
I enjoyed it.
I haven't tried to watch it again.
I really like Robert Downey Jr. and Jude
mm-hmm.
Law together. They worked
yeah.
very well as Holmes and Watson.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they gave some weight to Watson.
Mm-hmm.
He you know, because, you know, as much as I love the old Basil Rathbone movies,
mm-hmm.
Watson always seems to have come across as kind of a bumbling idiot at
mm-hmm.
points, you know, not knowing what's going on, where Jude Law's Watson was just as... He may not have been the intuitive genius that
mm-hmm.
Sherlock Holmes was. And the one thing I really liked that
mm-hmm.
they did in the movie was how they showed how Holmes thinks.
Mm-hmm.
How he plots out everything and then does it.
Okay, speaking about Sherlock Holmes... we just watched Sherlock, the new, you know, Moffat's writing for him. And
right.
you and I were talking about that. And, okay, do you know how in Doctor Who with Matt Smith, he's talking, but he's going through the whole thought process verbally?
Right.
It's the exact same fucking thing. And it drives me insane because it's like I may as well be watching an episode of Doctor Who.
Right.
However, what's interesting is the Watson character, who is... cannot ever remember his name. The guy from Hitchhiker's Guide, who was also in The Office. Arthur Dent.
Which version of the Hitchhiker's Guide? The BBC version or the
The latest, the American.
The American version. Okay, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
He was also in The Office.
Another Bill Nye movie.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about Bill Nye
earlier.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, because he's the architect.
He had a really cool character. Yeah. He was really cool in that.
He does show up in everything.
He does. He's in everything.
I think he may have been in the back corner of a porn I was watching, just kind of standing there.
Actually,
not even really watching the. He was sitting there reading a book, yeah.
In Love Actually, the guy who was his manager, wasn't that Nick Frost? You said that you haven't seen Love Actually.
No, I haven't seen that Love Actually.
Yeah, it's just basically a vignette of British actors and actresses that you're interested in, but
it's a chick flick, and we actually used to give a friend of ours hell because he actually went to the theater to go see Love Actually with his girlfriend.
It's romantic. I know guys who would totally go see stuff like that. It just kind of depends on, you know, how comfortable you are with your sexuality.
But I'm just waiting for the light comedy that's known, the light romantic comedy known as The Expendables.
yeah, I've heard that.
Yes.
About that movie. But Sherlock was good, but it was just more.
You can see, Moffat's, it's basically his.
It's whatever, what I'll watch until Doctor Who comes back, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, and you and I actually both saw a movie.
Right.
Well, okay, actually, let's talk about my week.
Yeah.
Let's see, something big happened. What was that? Something huge. I don't remember.
Haircut, right? No.
God, what was...
Bought some fruit. No, that wasn't it.
Oh, my God, Phantoms movie.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I kind of came into some weird surprise money and some weird surprise time off. And I'm like, what? Why are we waiting?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, okay. So he's moving down to the end of next month. So I'm just like beside myself.
I haven't
heard
that.
The week before Dragon
right.
Con. Like, that's not going to be stressful.
I haven't heard how's his parents taking it.
His mom... He described her as cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
I don't think his dad really has an opinion either way.
he's probably one of those guys that gets the fuck out.
He's not like get the fuck out. They're super tight, but he's just like, okay, whatever.
Okay, you're old enough, go.
Yeah.
Not really get the fuck out, but it's like,
exactly.
You're old enough, leave.
Exactly.
Love you, get out.
But yeah, his mom.
Hello, Bill Cosby.
Yeah, she and I get along real well, but she was a little upset because we were talking about doing it this week. Like, I actually would have been on a flight today.
Right.
Because, you know, I had some time off, but. They're going out of town. He's got to watch the house and everything, and they got really upset thinking he was going to bail on them when they needed him to watch the house. But yeah, so he's end of August. Seriously, the week before Dragon Con.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
How are you ready? You stoked? Yeah.
No, totally stoked. I have so much shit to do to my house.
Right.
I bought a bookshelf last night, because you know all the cheap-ass bookshelves?
Right, yeah.
They're always cheap around this time of year, because, you know, college. You know, kids are taking them to college. So I bought one of those. I need to go get another one. I'm working my ass off on that bathroom, because the way I'm doing the walls, just, it's like inch by inch by inch, and it just takes fucking forever, but it looks really good when it's done. I need to replace light fixtures. I mean, there's just so much stuff I've got
to
do.
Well, the good thing is that he'll be able to get the tall stuff for you once he comes down.
Yeah, but I mean, there's some stuff that I just want done before.
I figured, yeah.
But yeah, so that's my big...
That's your big news,
My big week, yeah. But we also saw a movie together.
Well,
or not together.
Together.
But
we saw the same movie separately,
the
same
movie, yeah.
Yes, thanks to Dollar Popcorn and Dollar Soda.
Sweet.
Thing on Facebook. I think I may have sent it to you. I'll have to try it. But yeah, AMC does this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they do it every so often on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You sign up and they send you a coupon. You get a coupon for $1 popcorn and $1 drink, any size.
Okay.
That was one of the catalysts to go
into
the movie.
Yeah, because mine, I got... I got the combo. Because it's $2 more than a small of everything. $13 for my shit, you know, which was ridiculous. But that was my dinner for that night and lunch for the next day. So, Well, Inception.
Inception, yes.
Yeah.
Which I think everybody has seen so far.
Yeah, and we're trying really hard to figure out how to talk about that without giving spoilers.
It's going to be hard, because I know Weekend Justice tried to do it.
Yeah. Well, and Widge did his Way Homer, yeah. Which all I kept saying was my brain hurts.
Yeah.
And I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to keep up with in that movie.
So far, most everybody I know loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had at least one or two, it's okay.
It's not, if you're going and looking for something light and cutesy, that's not the movie.
And, yeah, well, really no, the guy that said it was okay is not one of those lights and cutesy guy. He's, you know, he's into his science fiction and... He enjoyed it, but he just said it was okay. He wasn't nearly as blown away.
Yeah.
As some people, and then we've had one friend who said saw it, hated it.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what's to hate about it. You know, I get it all comes down to personal taste. But
right.
I can't imagine like what would be so annoying, and you know, I can see like if you were going into it thinking it would be entertaining because it's not. It's totally entertaining, but you've got to focus on it. It's not light entertainment.
Yeah. It's not a popcorn movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have to disagree because you can't, depending on how you want to take it,
mm-hmm.
I think this was one of the things they brought up on Weekend Justice. If you're going in just for an interesting action movie,
mm-hmm.
you can take it at that
mm-hmm.
and come away very entertained.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really start thinking about it, you can get even deeper the movie itself. And it does, it has some very interesting themes.
Well, I was even like looking at the color palettes because that's what I do. Yeah, right. That's kind of just how I process things. And the way the color palettes went from warm to cold to, you know, just looking at all the different color palettes, it was trippy.
Right.
So that was something I kind of noticed. But good movie. I don't know what else we can say without...
Yeah, there's not really much, because if you want to know what it is, the best way to describe it, Rob said it on Weekend Justice, it's a heist movie that's completely... it's a caper movie that takes completely in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is true.
With some deeper elements, because there is...
There are layers.
There are a lot of layers.
Lots of layers and lots of weird psychology behind it, and...
I have to say, and there's not a weak moment acting wise. Everybody does a great job.
Yeah, I can't think of a single time where I was like, really. Although, what is it, Cillian Murphy, the pretty guy, the son.
Oh yeah, he was also he was also the lead in 28 Days Later. He's also Scarecrow. He's and, Crane, Dr. Crane, and Batman Begins. And
Pluto or something. That it's one of Phantom's movies. Anyways. I don't know. He was kind of... I don't think he was weak as an actor. I think he was weak as a character. I just didn't get a lot of... I didn't care that he was all whiny and upset about the things that he was whiny and upset about.
No. I can kind of see, because he's someone that is... He's had to be the strong, outgoing guy, but he's had to deal with all this, his disappointment, you know, his dad's disappointment in him all his life.
But let's not give me...
But I'm just saying, you know, the rich boy's problems.
Yeah.
But I thought he came across well, especially with all the shit that happens to him at the time.
I just kind of didn't care about him. I didn't, you know.
I don't think you were supposed to care about him all that much. His character was not supposed to be a sympathetic character to begin with.
He was a bland character. I mean, there was no either way with him. Not just that he wasn't sympathetic, it was more that I just didn't care.
And I don't think... I think that may have been part of the character. He was... That particular role could have been anybody.
He just took up space. Yeah.
He was a catalyst for what was going on.
Yeah.
I don't think his character was as important to us as it was to the people in the in the movie.
In the story. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's basically the way I would take it.
Yeah.
But yeah. but the biggest surprise of the entire movie, what's his name? Gordon Levitt.
Which is who?
He was. DiCaprio's partner. He was always
in the
suit.
From Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Things I Hate About You. 10 Things
Joseph,
I Hate About You.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised. That was a really interesting role for him, and he was good in it.
Yeah.
It was different for him, for sure.
What's really interesting is the talk is that because he was in this movie, mm-hmm. and this is what I like to call, we jokingly call it the palate cleansing between Batmans, because,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, between Batman Begins and Dark Knight, you had mm-hmm. the Prestige. Mm-hmm. Well, between Dark Knight and Batman 3, which has been written and they are casting, mm-hmm. You have Inception.
Right.
Although some people have said that Inception was a movie he's been wanting to do for years, mm-hmm. and the Batman movies mm-hmm. were his testing of him doing big movies.
Okay.
And being able to do something like, because he needed to do a big movie with this.
He needed to have his following already that he knew that he could present it to a wider audience.
No, it's more of he before Batman Begins, he was more known for smaller movies.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed kind of something to whet his palate in mm-hmm. a broader
in the
experience of doing a movie of this magnitude, not mm-hmm. getting it out into the public, mm-hmm. but being able to do the story.
Okay.
It was. He needed a little more feet wet with something like a Batman Begins and mm-hmm. a Dark Knight, where he could deal with all the big special effects mm-hmm. and having a good story to go along with it, because that's a great thing about Batman Begins is, yes, it's a comic book movie, but the stories and the acting
mm-hmm.
are so good. You take away the mask and
right.
you have got a great, you know,
right.
just a vigilante or cop movie.
Right.
But no, with his performance in Inception, mm-hmm. there's talk that he's going to be cast as Edward Nigma, a.k.a. the Riddler.
Oh,
yeah.
That, I have trouble seeing that.
At first I thought, because a lot of people want to see mm-hmm. David Tennant come in as Nigma.
Oh, God, that would be good.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who want to see.
Yeah, I'll put myself in that camp.
But after seeing him doing mm-hmm. the way he holds himself in Inception, it's like, I can see him playing Nigma and
so
playing it well.
Inception.
But see, that's the point, that the Riddler is... The Riddler is not a Joker in a different suit.
Uh-huh.
Edward Nigma is an extremely intelligent man.
But he's still goofy,
no.
right?
Riddler done right is not goofy. Uh-huh. He is not...
The Jim Carrey Riddler, I guess, was goofy.
That was Batman... That's Schumacher Batman.
And the show was goofy.
That's oh god. Well, the show was originally supposed to be the '60s was supposed
mm-hmm.
to be a spoof.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of trying to do.
So everyone was. Goofy,
well, yeah, it was supposed to be kind of goofy. It was kind of a '60s parody of trying to get mm-hmm. a little bit of their like counterculture
mm-hmm.
views using. Kind of like the way, on a different level, the way Rod Seeger did with Twilight Zone,
mm-hmm.
using okay. science fiction and fantasy. But the guy who did the Rod Serling.
Serling.
Yeah.
Shit. Neither of us know.
Yeah.
We need to make notes before we record.
But you think I would have gone this way? Because everything's off the cuff.
Yeah.
But the way they used to do it, the way Roddenberry used to use Star Trek mm-hmm. to get, you know...
Send messages
through using what would be considered more of a throwaway... Yeah, entertainment throwaway.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about science fiction. In science fiction, you can put a message like that, a deep commentary, and people just think, oh, it's just a science fiction show.
Yeah, alternate reality.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's just the whole Star Trek episode, Let This Be Their Last Battlefield, where you had the two guys that were half black and white,
mm-hmm.
and the difference was is because it was different. One side was white mm-hmm. and one side was black. Well, the other guy was reversed,
mm-hmm.
even though they were the same thing.
There's all kinds of racial shit.
Right.
Yeah.
But, no, Nigma is a very serious...
Mm-hmm.
Can be a very serious Batman Begins does a very good job. Not Batman Begins, the animated show does a very good job with
mm-hmm.
Riddler.
Okay.
So you kind of need a more serious and intellectual guy to do. That's why Tennant would
really
be good too.
I haven't seen those, so I would be kind of curious to see how they went. But Tennant can do goofy.
Right.
He
but
can
you
certainly
don't...
do goofy.
But he can also do serious. He can also do very evil. Look at him
mm-hmm.
in Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, yeah. He was really good as Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bill's doing the tongue thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which... That's creepy. Stop that. You're freaking
out. I can't stop it now. But yeah, Inception is one of those movies. And we were sitting there just talking after the movie. Was sitting through the credits.
Yeah.
And I almost had my bladder explode because I was not going to leave that movie.
I left.
I couldn't.
I don't know why I didn't leave. I did. I just got up and left. I didn't even think to stay. Now, what was
No, no, I'm talking about... We just sat there and talked through the credits. We stayed just in case.
Oh, okay.
But no, no, my bladder was going to explode because I had to pee about halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
I think that's the only down. Yeah. The nice thing is even though it is over 2 hours long, it doesn't seem like a 2 hour long
movie. No, no, because you're wrapped up in it. I mean, it is... It's escapism. You're involved.
And it does, and there are some scenes, and this is where the action, where it gets away. There are some action moments that The Matrix wished they could have done. The hallway fight.
Yeah.
That's all I said.
Okay.
Well, no, you do see it in the trailer, though.
Well, but still. I mean, some people aren't watching the trailers, remember. But, yeah, you're good at spoilers, which you did with Warehouse 13. You're tweeting on
that. There was nothing getting... There was no spoilers.
Yeah, you were all like, hubba hubba, and I was like, I didn't want to know there was somebody sexy until I watch it.
That's not real. That's your own thing. No one else.
No, because Joe was pissed off, too. Yeah, I want to know nothing about a show going into it. But, yeah... It was funny. There's a bit of a Twitter snarl over the Warehouse 13.
Right. But you have to admit the effect, the old person turning into an old person effect was actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The kind of sparkly, almost transporter. Almost goes kind of transporter-y
totally.
Looking.
Yeah, I can see that.
With the effect.
That.
And that's the nice thing about...
a weird webby like thing. It was neat. Yeah, yeah, it was pretty cool.
But that's the interesting thing about Warehouse 13 is the way they do some of the effects.
Yeah, they really do. It's unique. They come up with different things.
Right.
And again, I was watching it, you know, today with Phantom, and I was, like, struck by the color palettes and how they use their colors.
Yeah.
You know, everything in the warehouse is kind of brown and aged and antique-y and everything, but then you go into this place that they go that's all white and crisp and green and fresh.
All right.
It's like, it's very striking, the way they use their colors.
I love the beginning when they're going after the sword and they're talking about the knights. Well, this was a throwaway at the beginning. It's not really much of anything.
But still.
No. And this is going up a week after the show has
been
out.
Some people still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, but I will say, I fucking hate Claudia's stupid colored streaks in her hair. It's so 100% obvious that they're clip-ons.
Right.
Because they don't blend with the rest of her hair. And they just look like shit. And they just need to take
Well, they make those things. And I think that's just... They do that...
Oh, look, she's punk. Well, you know, give her a real streak. You know what I mean? But that's just... I hate that thing. It drives me... It's like Tom Cruise's Unitooth. All I see is this... She's adorable. But all I see is this dancing, stupid, colored streak of hair. Because I can't focus on anything she says. Because I'm just busy looking at that stupid little clump of hair.
They do have a throwaway line, I think it's funny, from last week's episode, where she kisses the guy on the cheek and says, oh, you're a Wonder Twin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, see, what's interesting is she actually played one of the Wonder Twins on Smallville.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, she did a guest star where basically, in this case, it was two metahumans instead of Zan and Jane being wherever they were from. Uh-huh. It was a brother and sister that were enamored by the blur and were doing stuff in his name, but they kept fucking it up.
Okay.
I think someone gets killed at one point where they're trying to do something, and she plays the one that can turn into animals.
That would be worth going back and looking for. I would like to go back and look for that because she's adorable.
Yeah, but
you know, she would be so much cuter even without that stupid fucking hair.
Well, the next week is crossover week. They're actually doing a crossover with Eureka.
Are they?
Yep.
See, I haven't watched Eureka. I was kind of surprised that they came up with new seasons. Because it was canceled. It was on for like 2 seasons and then canceled, wasn't it?
No, it's been gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe I just...
It's always been a summer show.
Okay. Well, maybe that's
it's
why
one of those
they
things,
kind of
yeah.
up with it.
It's one of those ones.
Anyways,
well, it's one of those things where sci-fi has shows that they bring back at different times. And yeah, it was a summer show.
No, I thought for some reason there had been like two seasons and it was canceled and then they brought it back.
I think this is season four and it's been running, yeah.
Okay.
They've actually got the guy who played, what was his name? Baltar from Battlestar Galactica, the sci-fi show. He's now a cast member.
Okay.
And they actually did something with the timeline, so when they started this, it's been really interesting.
It's on Hulu, and I saw that it was on Hulu, and I was like, you know, I always wanted to watch that show because I hear it's good.
It's cute. It's a cute little sci-fi show.
But they're doing that thing where they only play the last five episodes.
I hate that. Yeah.
Yeah, just never mind. If I can't see the whole thing, I don't care.
Right. But yeah, one of the characters are coming on because I think basically some of the stuff that has happened in Eureka has ended up in the warehouse, so.
Yeah.
Or at least used by the warehouse, considering the nature of the town of Eureka.
Yeah.
Because it was basically Einstein created it. Is it supposed to be a think tank?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so everybody in there is geniuses.
Oh, right on.
Okay. So you basically have the whole storyline is the guy who becomes the sheriff is actually a Secret Service agent. Or a federal marshal or something like that who's on the run, chasing someone down and ends up stumbling into Eureka. And then while he's there, the guy who is the sheriff ends up getting killed.
Okay.
And so he ends up taking over and his daughter comes to... Yeah, you find out the person he was chasing down was actually his runaway daughter. And she comes to live in the town and he becomes sheriff. And he's not nearly as smart as anybody else, you know. Where everybody else has some, like, super genius thing. Like, his deputy is, like, this, you know... hardcore military, you know, former, you know, Green Beret, Special Service, you know, chick, and he's just, you know, agent guy. And so he has to, he's like the sane man in the insane asylum type thing, where he's the normal dude who's into beer and playing football, and everybody else is like super genius.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, maybe, I wonder if it's on Netflix.
I wouldn't be surprised if it, either Netflix streaming it, or you may be able to find it on sci-fi.com.
Okay.
They may have the seasons.
Now, but speaking of weird things that are on Hulu, I wanted to mention two things. Apparently, I have been watching a whole hell of a lot more than I thought. I should be writing, but, you know, whatever. Ergo Proxy is on Netflix.
I don't know.
Anime. It is dark. It is gritty. It is beautiful. The story's interesting. It's very noir, you know. It's I don't know, a little bit too fake noir for me, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's just drawn beautifully, or you know, animated beautifully.
I think draw works. Yeah.
Well, and secondly, yeah, I've been enjoying the fuck out of Dark Shadows. But not the original, the 1991 remake.
Oh,
yeah, it's hilarious. It's so funny because it's like, you know, and Rocks of Spaz House had said something about, you know.
Right.
Because I mentioned it on Twitter. And I was like, no, you know what? It's just another decade's version of this bullshit supernatural melodrama.
Right, which you know? the original Dark Shadow, melodrama.
Yeah.
Original Dark Shadows was a soap opera that played during the day because my mom used to tell me about her running home from school to watch Dark Shadows.
Yeah. So it's you know, Barnabas is reincarnated and meets his Josette and I fucking love it. And with the big hair and the huge sweaters and everything and all the 90s stuff.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Just the hairspray that was used is insane.
Yeah.
So, my God, if you want some just cheese ball fucking entertainment. But the houses, there's so much house
porn. Right.
Because the houses are gorgeous. It's awesome.
I've kind of done that, and it's funny because I've always thought a good comedy is something that can, you know, can hold up even after years. Like MASH still makes me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, Archie Bunker, Jefferson's.
This wasn't meant to be a comedy. It's
saying. But Hulu has the first two seasons of Soap.
Yeah.
And I've been rewatching Soap, and I was like,
yeah,
this is actually still really funny.
I don't know if I would go back and rewatch it though. I remember thinking it was hilarious back then.
Yeah,
but
no.
I don't know if it's to go back and watch her.
It is. It really is. It really does set up because, especially if you're someone who has watched soaps and you see all the cliches.
Yeah.
And for nothing more than Vincent. Because some of the stuff he gets away with what he says.
He had, like, little one-line zingers a lot.
Well, yeah, because, there's... But he didn't even have to say anything. There's one part where Jessica is telling Chester that she knows, you know, about the affair and all this, and he's denying it. And she gets up from her side of the table and starts walking over. And behind her, you see him peeking through the door, smiling his ass off because she's just... watching, waiting for the carnage.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that he would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or tell him off. You know, it's like, yo, make Eggs Benedict. Chester likes eggs. Eggs Benedict. And it's like, I ain't making eggs because I don't like eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, watch at least the first episode. And if you don't find it, still think it's funny, then, you know, it's not like you bought anything.
Yeah.
And it's 30 minutes out of your...
The funniest thing that you can find on Hulu... The most hilarious sitcom of all time is Arrested Development.
I wouldn't say it's a... I did enjoy it.
Actually, but it is a comedy.
It is a comedy.
Yeah. I love that show.
I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, you know, sitcom of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I would say it's one of the funniest.
It is very funny, especially...
Yeah.
Because just the sheer fact that you have this guy... Who is the last? Who seems to be the
his
last sane?
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems to be the last sane man on earth.
Yeah,
and his poor son.
Yeah,
who he's trying to bond so hard, trying to be the father his father wasn't.
Awkwardness personified.
Right.
Yeah,
which he's actually got. I can't wait to see his new movie, even though I know nothing about the comic.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna leave that off for like that rant that I'm gonna record one of these days and just still have it.
Okay.
Yeah. The whole Scott Pilgrim thing.
Right.
Because the people who are diehard Scott Pilgrim freakouts are also the ones who are diehard opposed to Twilight.
Right.
And I'm like, I thought the Scott Pilgrim comics were crap. You know what I mean? But you don't see me going off about it the way that they go off about it.
I know nothing about the comics.
Yeah.
I know you don't like them. I know Alicia couldn't get through them, but I found some people. But the movie alone, on its own as a movie... To me,
it has potential.
It looks like, I mean, just on the sheer fact of the way they use, you know, where they have the one scene where he's like, what are you doing? And he's got like a one-up guy going, I'm getting a life. And he grabs the one-up thing.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it has potential, but you don't see me going off about the comics and hating the comics and it's just crap and it's just stupid. And,
well, you could if you wanted to.
I know, but the Twilight people get vehement about... You know, loathing Twilight. And I'm like, have you tried it? You know, if you've tried it and don't like it, okay. Well, anyways, that's a separate rant.
Yeah, that's a
flesh come.
Geekless
kink.
Geekless kink coming soon to a podcast near you.
I did have a couple things I wanted to talk about.
Oh, right.
First of all, today I met the coolest couple. They were like in their 60s, like their mid 60s.
Right.
And they came into the shop. Who goes to Dragon Con every year. And it was just like a little country couple.
Right.
And not only were they just like the cutest fucking couple, I talked to him for like an hour. They had a photography studio.
Right.
For years and years. And actually, I did not know this. The Dukes of Hazzard, the first 5 episodes were shot in Loganville.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, they rented their farm. It was on their farm. It was their horses that were apparently in a scene where a barn blows up.
I have not watched an episode since it went off the air.
It was their farm that was filmed on. I just thought they were the coolest fucking couple. So, actually, Dragon Con is like in the air.
Right.
Because we also went to Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
Where there's a girl that I think is adorable.
Yes.
Who she's going.
Yes.
And so we talked all about Dragon Con. And I got a book on hauntings. And so the other girl...
The one that actually checked
jealous.
You out. Yeah,
I was totally jealous that we were going to Dragon Con. And I started talking about Taps, which I'm going to try to get Mom to go see. I've been talking to people who are going to Dragon Con, like, left and right.
Yeah.
My friend from high school, like, the one person that I really keep up from high school, she's going to be there, and she and I just got in touch, like, last week, and she's like, oh, my God, Dragon Con. I'm like, oh, holy shit, I know. So it's going to be a good one.
Right, yeah, and I've got a manager at work that goes to Dragon Con.
Yeah.
I've got several coworkers that if they could, would go to DragonCon, mm-hmm. but they're poor teen, you know, they're like poor young 20-somethings.
Yeah, and it's Phantoms first.
At Phantoms first. We've got the, what's her Twitter name? El Cinco?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be her from Girls
and
Talk.
And also the Girls. other person from her podcast, which probably. Is Jessie Nana?
I don't know. She doesn't follow me. Yeah. The only reason I know El Cinco is because she started following me.
Yeah, I know. I don't follow people until they follow me first.
But. It's going to be her their first DragonCon, mm-hmm. which they do the podcast, Girls with Glasses Talking mm-hmm. Tolkien.
Now, Jim DeSantis, who is in movie Brain Rot, and his girlfriend, which is MBR Maven,
right?
They dropped out.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was so bummed because we were totally going to go drink with them.
Yeah.
So I was bummed about that.
Yeah, I think a friend of mine who is, it doesn't have a nickname, so we're just not going to say, but he totaled his car, so it looks mm-hmm. like he's not going to be able to make it.
Aw.
Which is sad because they already took the deposit out of their card.
Oh, that sucks.
And I want to say those deposits aren't refundable. I'm not sure. Depends on the hotel.
J.J. Hawkins from Mars Needs is coming down.
Yep. This, I think second for him.
Yeah. Scott White from Instant Leftovers decided not to
come because he wanted an iPhone instead.
Yeah, and I got his pass, which thank you, honey. Love you. Appreciate it.
Still a jackass for buying an iPhone and not coming to DragonCon.
No. Well, you know, I mean, it's hard. It's a financial commitment, especially if you're coming out of town, you know.
Yeah.
It's a way bigger commitment than just an iPhone. There's a lot more, you know, there as far as, like, just making sure you can pay your bills and stuff. But, I mean, all kinds of people are coming to DragonCon.
Yeah. That's because totally it's only 30, well, technically it'd be 35 days away.
Yeah.
This day is almost over.
Yeah, I'm
at,
so excited.
At the time of this, yeah. Right. I have my eye countdown set. Yeah. That's why I put up that 1 month, 6 days, and 20 hours away from...
Yeah, mine still is set for the time that Joe would have been getting off the plane. But he won't be getting off the plane because he will live.
Right, so he was able to cancel his ticket because it was funny. DS was like, wait, is this a good thing or a bad thing? And I was like, no, it's a great thing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I actually was the first one to respond when I saw that. Was like, no, is that okay? And it was like, no, this is a great thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it kicks ass. But yeah, if you know, and we talked about it, you know, we will have had a week together of moving.
Right.
And being in very close quarters and trying to figure out where all of his shit goes and where my shit should go. And
right.
So we'll be fine separating for the entire weekend.
That was one of your concerns. Because
he's going to follow around and need coffee, and I'm going to go follow, you know, the writer's track. So,
right.
So I was really upset about that.
I'll be wherever I go.
Yeah, because I was kind of upset about, you know, not being able to spend time with him. But we'll hate each other by then.
I don't know if hate, but it'll be,
I'll love him like mad. Yeah. I'll always love him like mad, but...
A break will be needed.
No, it won't be. It won't. I mean, we get along fine. I think we'll be fine for the whole move. But I was gonna say hot, sweaty.
Yeah, a little bit of a break. I'm not saying huge break, but being able to go separate ways when you've been hot
and
sweaty.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say I won't hate having to go our separate ways. But yeah.
It won't be as much of a hardship as you were thinking it was going to be because, you know, only get 2 weeks around each other and here he is going to follow Widget and all them.
Yeah.
The Need Coffee Caravan, much like the... I think we literally did that. We went from, I think it was Make the Bad Men Stop to Need Coffee versus the Apocalypse, and we were actually waiting in front of the door as Widget and all them walked up.
Okay.
We got there before they did.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, no, I am looking forward. I'm going to see some of the Need Coffee things because, of course, you know, I gotta hang out. But I want to see your panel. I try to make it to Aruka's.
The Slash Freak,
Yeah, mostly I just want to hang out with the writer's track and possibly the podcaster's track.
As we
discussed, we could use all the fucking help we can get.
No, fuck that. We're brilliant.
They need to. They need us right on. Now, it could probably give us tips.
I would say, whatever. We are brilliant. They need to get tips from us.
Says the guy who doesn't touch the audio.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just need to be brilliant, and I am.
You know, you just show up, and that's okay.
I tweet us.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have seen me and Aruka just
you guys
pimping
did.
The shit
you,
out of our last
you pimped
one.
Us on FetLife even.
Yep.
So that was cool. But that was a really good app. Even though the recording didn't turn out that great because of the Skype
the fiasco.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We know we need to make sure he's wearing headphones.
See, I knew that before. And I thought that he was just recording himself. But
right.
It's either here nor there. Well, you know, it'll be better next time. But, yeah, okay. Another topic, just off, out of, and I'm going off the list. I know, you know.
Right.
There are no organic transitions that way, but I don't care. EverQuest 2 now has a free version.
Okay.
Where it's like one of the, like Evony.
Okay.
Or the MMORPGs where you play for free, but you pay for upgrades.
Right.
So you can buy your in-game money or your, you can pay to unlock levels or things like that.
Right.
So anyone who's thought about playing EverQuest, I just like it so much. I like it 1,000 times more than shit.
Wow.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, we'll call it that. I just like it so much more, and I know people who get into WoW and just don't love it. Try EverQuest, because it may be right. It may work better for you. It's a little bit, it plays differently.
I'm just not wild about the whole...
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never been a real computer gamer. I've always been a console gamer, and mm-hmm. we've had this discussion.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, if I could get, like, a controller, like mm-hmm. an Xbox controller,
mm-hmm.
and fine. Play EverQuest on my computer,
yeah.
I'd be great. That would be wonderful for me, but I know that's not going to work because you have so many hot buttons that you need to have and all that kind of stuff.
Actually,
but
with EverQuest, I don't think I ever use that many hot buttons. It's just the arrow keys, spacebar.
I'm not coordinated with using the arrow key because I got big fingers,
mm-hmm.
and they can get... You know, I always end up, when I try to do something like that, I always end up mashing the wrong button or, mm-hmm. or I'm going, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? Oh, I'm pushing the wrong goddamn button. That's why.
Oh, see, I got used to it, but I guess
I'm just more console, so.
Yeah.
Everybody has, you know, each own. Some people play.
Well, see, and it, basically what that did, you know, and there are some things that are locked and are only for paid members. That didn't make me want to go get on the free one.
Right.
That made me want to go start paying for my membership again. And I think that's actually going to do it with a lot of people just because it's in the news. Be like, oh my God, yeah, I missed that.
I haven't played it yet.
And my character still exists, so I could go there and just pick up where I left off.
Right.
It's really hard to ignore that, but yeah, that would be another time drain that I don't need.
Right. Now, what we've been doing is we had a flat screen. We finally broke down and bought a flat screen because mm-hmm. the cathode tube was slowly dying.
Right.
H.H. Gregg had a great sale. They called it the Christmas in July.
Mm-hmm.
My manager at CVS called it the economy sucks, so we're trying to sell some shit quick type thing. And we got a 32-inch flat screen, which is what we wanted. We didn't want anything big for $300.
Right.
And so we've been playing. What's interesting is because now that we have an HDTV mm-hmm. and we have an Xbox 360, uh-huh. being able to play the games that are supposed to be in high def.
Yeah.
In high def.
Yeah, well, you said that you played one that you were like, oh my God, you could totally tell the difference.
You could definitely tell the difference. The big thing was Batman Arkham.
Uh-huh. Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, Arkham Asylum was already a gorgeous game even in standard def, but is absolutely gorgeous in... high def, but I had where I found my first problem with it
mm-hmm.
was trying to play the Dead Rising game.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe it was just my eyes at the time, but it was one of these games to where it was hard to read the words on the screen in standard def.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I did is I went and they still had the free download,
mm-hmm.
the free, you know, free demo.
Mm-hmm.
For Dead Rising, so I downloaded it and tried it out in the HD,
mm-hmm.
and there's a difference. It was the game playing was a lot better, and being able to see what was going on was a lot better.
Very cool.
So, it's cool. Actually one of those things where it's like, you know what? I could probably get a used copy of Dead Rising really cheap now.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go.
But I've got so many. I got so many games we're playing right now because I've been doing the Batman Asylum. We've actually got a Call of Cthulhu game we're playing. That Javindor, Aruka's brother-in-law, let us borrow, which has been really interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to play all of Phantom's games. I'm just going to sit down. Right. Everything he's played, I'm just going to sit down for,
and
like,
then tell him to, nope, sorry, playing.
I'm sorry, I'm busy for 6 weeks. Yeah, it's, you know.
But I'm right here.
I'll take breaks for sex and food, and otherwise just don't bother.
But no, you'd probably enjoy the call, because basically it's, you play a cop. Uh-huh. In Boston.
Okay.
In 1919, who gets called because this strange cult has been held up in this house.
Okay.
And they called for you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start playing the game, you go through all this stuff and see what's going on. And they've mm-hmm. been watching you.
Mm-hmm.
And you accidentally open this portal
mm-hmm.
at the end, which sends you into an insane asylum.
Oh, that does sound really good.
Where then you, well, this is just the first part of the game. Uh-huh. Then you wake up, but you can only remember the last 5 months.
But it sounds like it would be like really moody and atmospheric, which is what I love.
It's very noir, because what happens is you're now a private detective. You get this strange phone call from a guy saying, yeah, a manager at one of our grocery stores
mm-hmm.
in Ismith,
uh-huh.
which is one of the
Ismith,
has disappeared. You need to go and find him. And, of course, Ismith does not like outsiders, so you have uh-huh. to. First part of the game that I've gotten to this part is you've got to sneak into the back way to the grocery store, because the grocery store is cordoned off by mm-hmm. the cops
mm-hmm.
and you have to sneak your way, because there's a cop that's patrolling the back alley to get to the
mm-hmm.
and I mean, it's even to the point where if the door is open and you made it to the inside of the thing, if the cop shows up, he gets you and takes you and
mm-hmm.
and puts you back out, and you have to sneak your way back in again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very different from your normal first person, you know, pick up gun, bang bang, shoot bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't.
To where it's got a very, H.P. Lovecraft feel to it so far.
I downloaded everything that man ever wrote, even his collaborations with other authors.
Right.
For my Nook, I am chock full of Lovecraft on the Nook, and I'm very excited about that. But I'm trying to read. We've talked about this before.
Right.
If I buy a book, I will read and I will finish that book. I will not put it down, even if it's crap. And I'm reading a book right now that I cannot fucking stand. It's well written. I mean, I can't fault the writing.
Right.
But I hate the story. I hate so many things about the story. I can't. The protagonist is absolutely not sympathetic at all. I hate her. I want her to fail in everything she does. I don't like the culture she's writing about. I hate this book. And it's a thick book with small writing, and by God, I will finish that before I'm going to read it.
If I don't like a book, I'll put it to the side.
Yeah.
But then again, I'll also, if I have a book and I pick up another book, I'll put one book to the side and start reading that, because I bought Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and it's like I've been wanting to read something by Thompson.
Yeah.
But I've got so many half books that I'm dealing with.
I can't, and that's why I can't do that, because I. Okay, part of it is just me being cheap. And if I paid for it, I'm going to read it.
Right.
And part of it is I can't have more than two books going at the same time, because it just drives me insane.
I really should, because I've got Get Shorty, which I've been trying to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep... And it's not like I don't like it. It's just I end up seeing something else. Like, oh, I want to read this.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to read as much of Laurel K. Hamilton stuff mm-hmm. since she's coming.
Yeah.
And like to know a little more about it. And I enjoy the Anita Blake book, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah.
And I just got done with Cerulean Sins.
Okay.
So I'm on to, I forgot, Incubus Dreams, I think, was the next one.
Okay.
On my list, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't read the last two. But I did get the latest comparison, which I love. And actually, if you really like Laurel K. Hamilton, Kim Harrison kicks ass. I just like her world a little bit better. I find it more interesting.
Okay. I know they're getting ready, and we got other things. They're getting ready to finish the Buffy season 8 mm-hmm. in comic book form's almost done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be buying that stuff up, because we've been enjoying it.
Yeah.
And,
I've got just a stack of books I need to read, but I'm gonna alternate book nook, book nook, book nook, so I can. It sucks that I've become so goal oriented in my reading, because I think that sucks a lot of the fun out of it. But
right,
I just bought a new bookshelf, which I mentioned, and just looking at all my books, I'm like, God, you know, this is ridiculous. I need to read some of the shit, because I've bought so much stuff that I have not read yet.
Because I still haven't touched that William Gibson book I bought one last time. Mm-hmm. So I went to the. I still need to read that.
Okay.
But of course, I'm going to start reading the Hunter S. Thompson because every, you know.
Right. That's what's piqued your interest. Yes, right. Yeah. Now. Yeah. It's whatever is like 4 or 5. Yeah. Right. That's how I choose my next book for sure.
Because I couldn't get into the movie. Mm-hmm. I may try the movie again, but maybe after I read the book, I'll try the movie again.
I think the movie makes much more sense if you have taken a lot of drugs.
But it's another Terry Gilliam movie, and I really, you know, I like his directing, so mm-hmm. I need to try it again.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the movie.
It also may be one of those things that I'm better watching movies when someone else is with me, and I know Alicia will watch something like we'll watch. So
yeah, yeah, I actually downloaded. Speaking of drug journey movies, or stories, I've got On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
I tried reading it.
That's the one that Chuck keeps recommending
right.
when we had the book club. But I've heard from so many other people that I need to read it, so.
I've tried reading it. Mm-hmm. I think I may have lost it at one point. That's why I never finished it. But I do have a book of his poetry, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting. I did like the Kerouac.
Yeah, I got that, and I got Dharma Bums. Is Dharma Bums the poetry, or is that another?
This was a little book of Jessica. It was mm-hmm. like a little book about like this size that has mm-hmm. has a little paperback that had Kerouac poetry. I just found it again. I may read it again.
Okay.
Because his poetry is interesting.
Yeah, I haven't been exposed to it. I haven't been exposed to any of his stuff. Actually, really none of the beat poets. But yeah, so I'm jazzed about that. I've got so many things on the Nook that I want to read.
Right.
So I'm gonna try to alternate. So.
Well, I'm basically trying to take, since I have such smart friends, trying to take, you know, cues from them and read some of their stuff and see if I'm as smart as they are.
I know, it's bad. I feel like such a joiner. Be like, oh yeah, they're talking about it. I'm like,
if the bar was down here, right. I wouldn't be a joiner, but the bar is up here. Right, right. And so it's like,
right. Maybe I should have read that by now. Yeah.
Well, why do you think I'm doing the whole thing with trying to catch up with like Casablanca and mm-hmm. Dr. Strangelove, which mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy as much as I thought I would.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, some good points.
You gotta be in the mood for it.
Yeah.
But
I get to.
Sometimes I'll watch it and I'll get a lot out of it, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, okay.
I get to introduce Alicia to Alien. She's never seen Alien.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's seen Aliens because I own that one, but she hadn't seen Alien.
Yeah, what did she think?
Hadn't seen it yet. I said, we're going to show it.
Oh, you're going to. Okay.
We've also got the original Rollerball and Moulin Rouge on its way, and she hadn't seen mm-hmm. Moulin Rouge.
I haven't seen the original Rollerball either.
I don't think I have either, but. It's one of those ones that I kind of want to mm-hmm. see. It's kind of like Omega Man and Soylent mm-hmm. Green and all that stuff kind of need to see.
Yeah. I have one more thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's take it down a notch, shall we?
Yeah.
But it's going into kink, so.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was having a discussion with somebody earlier today, as I am wont to do.
Yes, you do tend to talk to people a lot.
Yeah, about dirty things. Yeah.
Of course,
Or, you know, somewhat kinky or sexual. And we were talking about the differences between the word slut and the word whore.
Okay.
And I actually had a friend who wrote a blog on this on FetLife. And it's weird how people have their own individual takes on it.
Right.
Because somebody called me a slut. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. I haven't had sex in 5 fucking months. Bite me. You know what I mean? My immediate reaction was just anger. And, you know, too, I think you call a sub a slut.
Right.
But, like, not even joking. You know what I mean? It pissed me off. It raised my hackles, for sure.
Well, it really depends on your... I mean... I know I've always thought that people usually call people sluts mm-hmm. when they're into something they're not into. Because there are such degrees of what people are into, you know. It, mm-hmm. It's also kind of like kinky, mm-hmm. you know, where someone who's kind of vanilla would look at me and say, oh, you're kinky. But I look at you, mm-hmm. who's into deeper stuff than I've been into, as kinky. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's somebody out there that you would go, wait, you're kinky.
Holy hell.
Right, and there are layers of it, you know.
Well, see, you know, there are so many women who embrace the term slut.
Right.
And they're usually subs. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I have slept with multiple partners, you know, not at the same time, you know, in the same space and same time, but, you know, where I've been seeing several people at the same time.
Right.
And I think then I would have laughed about it, somebody calling me that. But now,
well, I think it's also the culture you're into now. Right.
Yeah, like, you know, I've been fucking chased, you know what I mean?
But it's also, again, it's you being a dom and someone calling you a slut also it's a different it's a thing.
Yeah. And I was trying to explain that, but I was like, I was so pissed off I couldn't explain exactly why it was pissing me off. I was just trying to formulate my thoughts. You know what I mean?
Right. It's always, you always seem to have the better comeback once the person leaves.
Yeah. But see, I use the word whore, and I use it as an endearment. Okay, and this is getting personal probably, but, you know, I call Joe little whore.
Right.
I call him my little whore.
Right.
And it's a term of endearment, and I'm usually smiling at him and petting him as I say it. And I just see that differently, because I use it as endearment as opposed to, like, an accusation.
Right.
But
again, you couldn't get away with that calling someone else.
I would never call a dom
either, really.
Yeah.
I think it comes along the same lines as women embracing the word bitch too.
Yeah.
Some women would fly off the handle if you called them a bitch, and then you have them. You know, people will call each other bitches as a term of endearment, almost along the lines of the whole N-word thing. But unfortunately, when it comes to bitch, it's the women who have horrible personalities that embrace the word bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you have that same thing with slut.
Yeah.
Because, you know, or they get a domineering woman is called a bitch, but a guy who is, you know, he's a go-getter. And it's like, no, a bitch is someone who has a horrible personality. But
well, I don't know. It depends. That depends on
the way I look at it.
Because there are people who do see.
I'm saying that. Yeah,
you know.
But then again, that's their own. That's their own personal hang-ups too, because they can't handle a woman who is, you know, a competent, strong woman, and have to label them in a derogatory way to make themselves feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of times when it comes to people who use the word slut and whore as a negative, is it's less about the person they're calling a slut and more about themselves that they're calling the person a slut.
Well, see, my thing is, you know, in high school, like, there are all the bitchy girls. Like, oh my God, she's such a slut. She's such a slut. Oh my God, how slutty.
Right, but they'd be blowing their boyfriend in the back of the car, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, I had a boyfriend that I was very sexually active with, and I had people that called me a slut.
Right.
And I was like, I'm seeing one person.
Right.
And to me, slut kind of denotes that you're seeing several people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or
or at least fucking several people.
Exactly. Getting around.
Right.
And that was never my thing. I was always, you know, into my one boyfriend. I mean, I did cheat later.
Right, right.
You know, but that's neither here nor there.
Again, we're also getting into the high school idea of slut is someone just having sex.
Right.
And again, using that name to make themselves feel better, because I'm sure they were blowing their boyfriends and not telling anybody about it, or... You know, it's along the same lines as someone who'll let themselves get fucked in the ass but will still call themselves a virgin because they haven't had vaginal penetration. Right. So.
Right. Well, and to me, whore, I mean, it kind of, you know, is a word for basically a prostitute.
Right.
But I use it as an endearment because, you know, he'll do things that I like that are, you know, whorish.
Right.
For approval. It's like that's... having sex or doing sexual things to get something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which is basically what a whore would be, whether it's money, power, approval.
Yeah.
It's all some form of commodity, you know, it's some kind of commodity you're after when you do it.
Right.
Where a slut seems to be just into it for just for the sheer pleasure of sex.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they actually have that book on polyamory called The Ethical Slut.
Right. Who did that, Pat Calavera?
I don't remember the name. I remember. I don't think I finished the book.
No, it's somebody else. I know. And it's funny because I've actually got all these books on pagan polyamory and all right. this other stuff that I'll still read them out of curiosity. Actually, I know exactly who I should give them to. But,
our special friend.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But just as, you know, because she would enjoy the study of it.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, to me, it's the thing about affection versus accusation.
Right, but like, well, that's because you know? You're, yeah. Well, see, that's because you're also again the nature of the community you're in.
Yeah,
that's kind of been the way you do it, plus your own perceptions.
Yeah.
Of that particular word.
Right. There are so many factors that go into how you're going to perceive it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just like basically any derogatory term. Basically, the biggest one being N-word, where you could have, you know, someone, yeah, or some, you know, basically calling each other that, but the minute it comes out of someone else's mouth, that's when they get offended.
Oh, I used to get so pissed when straight people would say dyke.
Right.
I'm like, you know, I'll call myself a dyke and I'll call my partner a dyke. Don't you fucking dare say it, because when straight people are saying it,
they mean it in a more
detailed way. They mean it in a nasty way, yeah.
Although it's really a funner word to say than lesbian. Too,
it's so much more guttural.
Yeah.
And it's more sexual to me.
Again, what we
yeah. It's very dykey as opposed to lesbian. And lesbians are the ones who want to have tea parties and watch the L word and do each other's hair, and dykes fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's just like the groups that call themselves, you know, that you know, fag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I think I've told the story before. They used to have a party group at Frolicon.
Yeah.
I should say Phantasm, because I don't think I've seen her at Frolicon. I don't think, even though they're together, but they called themselves fag.
Yeah.
But of course, used it in the F period, A period, and fag meant something.
But yeah.
But they didn't say it as F-A-G-G.
Yeah.
They said fag, and it was like, no, we call it fag.
Yeah.
And it was a gay group.
Yeah.
So.
But nobody can make fun of themselves like gay people.
Right.
Yeah. And that comes from, you know, a lot of weirdness about, you know, growing up gay and having to deal with things to the point that you just
it's a defense mechanism that a lot of people have. You see a lot of the fat guys that have it, especially the stand-up comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have no problem because they've had it flung at them so much that they can now take it back. And
there's one named Enrique someone.
I know who you're talking about.
He's funny as fuck, too.
Yeah, he's not fat. He's fluffy.
Yeah.
I've seen his stand-up.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. Well, there's the whole scene in Roxanne.
Mm-hmm. About him making fun of his nose.
Yeah. And he said whatever.
He's got after that 32 jokes.
No. What it was is he was getting picked on. He said, whatever I hit on the dartboard, I will say that many jokes.
That's right.
He hit the 20.
Yeah.
So he had to come up with 20 nose jokes.
Yeah. That's funny. Okay.
Which threw everybody off, but I think it's all really, it all depends on where you're from and what you mean behind the word.
Yeah,
who is it coming from? Right.
Said. Yeah, for sure. But we're an hour and 7.
Okay.
And we got to my list.
Yes, we got to
my list. I know you hate
it
when I go all list because I changed the topic and you just kind of like.
No, it was just I'm setting myself up for the next topic.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, but we rambled, too. So it's like we were listy rambling.
Listy rambling.
Yeah.
That'd be a great name for an album.
Yeah.
Listy rambling.
Either that or a drag queen.
Actually, that would be a great name for somebody that I want to mention that's on Twitter. And her name is Ranger Denny. And I don't remember if it's Ranger _Denny.
Right.
But I know that Denny is spelled D-E-N-N-I, and it's Denise Hudson.
Okay.
Who writes songs for... I don't remember the name of the fucking contest, goddammit. But I follow her. Her music is amazing. It's not Song Fu.
Okay.
I think she has done Song Fu.
Oh, okay.
But there's another one that she does.
That's
songs
the only song contest I know of.
Yeah, but she's her music is awesome. It is so good. It's her lyrics are deep and intense, and they're mostly gonna appeal to women. But the music's great, it's catchy. Great, just her lyrics are insane. So, everybody should follow her.
But Listy Rambling also sounds like a good drag name.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Yeah. And actually, it's funny because I tweeted that I made up a drink called a foamy mouthgasm.
Yeah.
Which is orange soda and cruising cream rum, by the way.
Right. Again, another good drag name.
Well, she said that was the name of her Dixieland Motley Crue tribute band. So she's also really cool to follow on Twitter.
Right.
So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that in. So.
There's supposed to be a way. They've got a list of how you're supposed to come up, and I can't remember what the name of the... Because it was one of those things, like, how you get your porn names, the name of your first
dog
pet.
And
the street you grew up on, yeah. But there's something along
that. Mine would be Sheba Hillwood.
Right.
Yeah.
P.K. Post Oak.
Okay. Post Oak, because it's posty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big, okay.
And it's wood. You're getting wood.
Hey.
There you go. Hey, I see what you did, what I did there.
Mm-hmm. I like Sheba.
I'll throw out to Mal. I see what I did there.
Yeah. So, alrighty. Let's not ramble through all the shit. They know how to get in touch with, get rid of us.
It's called pause or off. Yeah. Delete.
Okay. Well, let's just say kinkyandthegeek.wordpress.com.
Yeah. Everything is there. Yeah.
Branches off there.
Although I don't think we have our FetLife set up there.
I'm flesh fine on FetLife.
No. I mean the FetLife group. Friends of Kinky and the Geek on FetLife.
Okay. So there it is. Go look for that if you're on FetLife.
Kinky and the Geek .wordpress.com. Pretty much you can find links to everything we do.
Exactly. We're
not that hard to find. Yeah.
And Gmail and.
There are times I won't shut the fuck up with the Kinky and the Geek thing.
Right. Yeah, I know that about you.
Usually what happens is I've tweeted something as Kinky and the Geek, you know, that would be Kinky and the Geek related.
Yeah.
And I forget that it's switched over to that.
Yeah.
That's why I'll accidentally
I know, and you're tweeting,
something.
Like, direct messages to porn people. Yeah. Under Kinky and the Geek.
No. I do that on purpose when I retweet her pictures, the porn star I've been doing. Oh, A, because it's more
the porn
of a
star you've been doing.
Yeah, I've been following. Mainly because A, it would be a Kinky and the Geek type thing anyway.
Yeah.
You know, our fan base would appreciate the half naked
Latino
MILF.
Yeah, but she's not my kind of person at all. She's not my kind of. So I'm going to start tweeting a bunch of, you know, gay fisting porn under the Kinky and the Geek.
Well, she's not. Is she doing? No, she's just sending up pictures of herself. She's not fisting anybody.
Well,
if you
want to
say a half,
that's
if you want to put up half naked guys, go ahead. But
in chastity.
You can do that, yeah.
I probably will. Okay.
Which would appeal to our followers anyway, too.
Yeah, some of them.
Hello. I don't know about Widge. I think we'd probably break Widge's brain.
No. I think he's open-minded.
He's
open-minded.
He's
just, yeah.
He probably doesn't.
Oh, my God. He's open-minded. Alrighty. Let's go.
Okay.
Be good.
Or be good at it.
Bye.